When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Jim, how are you, buddy? Great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, happy holidays, guys. Good to talk to you as always.
Very curious about your take of this trade. What was your first thought when you heard that the White Sox had indeed finally traded Garrett Crochet? They'd done so with the Red Sox. We'd heard a lot of names coming out there, but they got four of their top 15 players. How did you evaluate that when you, knowing the players much better than we do, what did you think?
Yeah. My first thought, honestly, was it made me think about the Chris Sale trade, because the Chris Sale trade, when they made it at the time, it was two top 100 prospects. And I don't remember the exact rankings, but I think at the time, Yoan Moncada might have been number one on our prospect list. And Michael Kopech was one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. Mm. And this year they got two of the top 100 prospects in Kyle Teal and Brayden Montgomery. And then with the Sale trade, they got two additional players, Luis Alexander Basabe, and I think it was Victor Diaz was a reliever. And, this year they got two additional players in Chase Meidroff and then Wickelman Gonzalez. And, I think this is a good package. White Sox fans listening to the names I just rattled off the Chris Sale trade are probably thinking, oh man, what are we talking about here? But, prospects are, there is prospect risk. I don't think Moncada and Kopech, became fully what the White Sox hoped, but, they got talented prospects then. They got talented prospects now. Kyle Keel's one of the best catching prospects in the game. I don't even think it's an argument now between Kyle Teal and Edgar Cuero. I think the White Sox have the best catching prospects in baseball right now.
Wow.
And they should be set behind the plate for a while. Teal's kind of a complete package. I mean, he's an advanced hitter. I think it's 20 homer power. And I think he's a little underrated defensively. I think he's a solid receiver with plus arm. So he's exciting. Brayden Montgomery's kind of your classic right fielder, good athlete, well above average raw power, plus arm. He's up to 96. I'm not sure when he'll make his pro debut, if he'll be ready to go by opening day. He broke his ankle sliding in the Super Regionals at Texas A&M last year, which is one of the reasons he dropped to number 12. Both Teal, who went 14th, and Montgomery, who went 12th, were the last two first-round picks by the Red Sox. And honestly, if the draft was done again today, the 2023 draft, Teal would not last 14 picks, and Matt Shaw wouldn't last 13 picks either to the Cubs. And then, the other two of the guys that got in the trade, one I kind of look at it high floor, high ceiling. Meidroff he does one thing really, really well. He gets on base. He led the International League AAA with a .437 on base percentage this year. There's not a lot of power there. It's probably, fringy speed, arm, athleticism. He's a second baseman, but second baseman with on-base skills. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I bet you he's the second baseman on the White Sox next year. And like I said, he's a high floor guy. And then Gonzalez is kind of your high ceiling guy. Like when he's on, it's a mid-90s fastball. It's a hammer curveball. In 2023, he led the entire minor leagues in strikeout rate per nine innings, strikeout percentage. And then in 2024, he frankly wasn't very good. So, I mean, he's a little bit more of a lottery ticket with some upside. But, you know, as the fourth player in the deal, worth taking a chance on. So, you know, again, you know, prospects aren't sure things, but this is a pretty good haul. I mean, it's a better haul than they got for Dylan Cease. You know, I think Crochet had more value, but I think this was kind of the type of package you were going to get. You know, like you were hoping for if you're trading Garrett Crochet with the amount of control that remains with him, but also not a lot of track record as a starter either, that you'd get, you know, potentially two top 100 prospects, and they got two guys, you know, pretty much from the upper half of the list, and then a couple other interesting guys as well. So I think they did pretty well in this trade, you know, with the caveat that I like prospects as much as anybody, and prospects aren't sure things.
So, Jim, we know so much about the Cubs system because we talk about it a lot, and we know they have eight of the top 100 prospects in baseball, and our audience is more familiar with some of those names. So if we were going to have the equivalent of what the Cubs might have given up, who are these prospects like in that regard? Who is it the equivalent that the White Sox are getting? Because you described them well, and I think a lot of people now know a little bit more about those guys. But how, you know, what's the exchange rate, and how would you describe who these guys might be in terms of those terms?
Yeah, when you texted me this question before I came on, I was like, oh, this is kind of a cool question. Nobody ever asked me anything like this. So, yeah, if you're breaking it down and you're looking to where kind of where guys are ranked on the two lists and on our top 100 list, Kyle Teal would fall like right in between Matt Shaw and Owen Casey. Like he'd be that caliber of prospect. Like we have Shaw a little bit ahead of him, Casey a little bit behind him. And I'm a big Owen Casey fan. So that would be your headliner. You know, Brayden Montgomery would kind of be in that James Triantos, Kevin Alcantara territory. I like him, assuming he comes back from the ankle 100%, which he should. I like him a little bit better than those guys. I think Triantos winds up in the outfield, so I think it's an apt comparison. I just think he's got more power, more arm strength than those guys, comparable athletically to Alcantara. Chase Meidroth is kind of similar to a kid who's in the lower levels of the Cubs system named Pedro Ramirez, who's a hit over power guy who probably fits best at second base. And then for Wickelman Gonzalez, he kind of reminds me of Jackson Wiggins. But you know, the Cubs don't have their pitching prospect depth is thin right now because they've promoted so many guys to the big leagues. But Wiggins is another guy with a big arm who needs to throw more strikes and is kind of a wild, you know, you have a starter. You know, if you dream and he hits his ceiling, you know, he pitches in the front half of your rotation. If he doesn't throw more strikes, you're probably looking at a reliever. So it would be a package comparable to, you know, if I like Montgomery a little bit more than Triantos and Alcantara, I'd say maybe it's like a Shaw, Triantos, Ramirez, Wiggins package would be something comparable for the Cubs. And you know, we don't know, you know, how seriously the Cubs pursued a Crochet or what they did. But if I were the Cubs and I had that opportunity, I probably would make that trade. Like as much as I love Sean Casey, I probably would have made that trade. And again, I'm not saying it was offered. Maybe the White Sox preferred this Red Sox package. But if I were the Cubs and I could have pulled that off, I would have pulled the trigger on that. Although I think we all know, I think the Cubs would prefer to trade some big leaguers to clear room for some of the younger guys and give them more payroll flexibility. But they're kind of, the Cubs are kind of running into a weird situation where virtually their entire position player starting lineup is back, and they have five guys in AAA who are top 100 prospects on the verge of being ready for the big leagues, and some of them are, and they just don't have room to play everybody.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Jim, we got a texter checking in. I find this very amusing. Says he can't wait to see what the Sox get from the Red Sox for Noah Schultz when that time comes.
And I can't. Go on Hagen Smith, too. Hagen Smith, another guy.
Oh, boy.
So I guess the what I wanted to ask you before that joke was about Noah Schultz and about Hagen Smith. What does the timetable change on some of these prospects because of the situation this team is in? In other words, you know, it would not be a positive thing to change the timetable, but do you look at guys differently when you move out your power left-hander and you say, well, we know we got one coming in a year or two. We got two coming. We just don't know when. Is that a danger that they have to avoid, or is that something that might well happen?
No, I think they'll avoid it, especially considering Chris Getz's background is in player development. And, here's the thing. The White Sox aren't going to win for at least a couple of years. So there's no incentive to rush guys. I do think when you're talking about your super talented guys, to me, Noah Schultz is the best left-handed pitching prospect in baseball. And you could argue he's the best pitching prospect in baseball. We'd like to see more innings out of him, but he's been untouchable. But and Hagen Smith, had set the all-time strikeout rate record in NCAA Division I last year, and has amazing stuff too. And I think with guys like that, they dictate their own timetable. Like you, even if you had a plan, even if you were going to rush him, or you're saying, okay, we want Noah Schultz to spend a full year in the minors. If Noah Schultz comes out and dominates guys in AAA like he has everywhere else in the minors, at some point you're just going to have to call him up. Like, he's going to run out of challenges. But no, I don't think they're going to rush those guys. I do think that's one of the, I guess we want to look for a bright spot for being as bad as the White Sox were last year. There's no incentive. I mean, if you rush Noah Schultz to the big leagues this year, what, you're going to win 62 games instead of 58 or something? I mean, I don't think they're going to fall in that trap. I think they'll let these guys kind of develop naturally. I mean, the one I'm curious about is Colson Montgomery.
Yeah.
Who did not have a good year in AAA last year and frankly didn't ever really hit in his various stints in AA. And, you know, I think there was some thought he might have been the opening day shortstop last year, and he'd definitely be up during the season. I would kind of let that one kind of, you know, develop organically too. I wouldn't go into the spring saying, oh, we want him to be the opening day shortstop or this or that. I would let his play dictate it, and I think they're going to do that with a lot of the guys.
When you talk about, excuse me, Kyle Teal, we heard Chris Guest describe him as a good athlete, which suggests maybe, does he have other positions? Like, you know, you look at catchers who were drafted, and I know Kyle Schwarber is an extreme example, but you wonder about, with the White Sox having so many quality catchers, as you point out, the depth at the position, if they want to get both guys on the field, is Kyle Teal somebody who could play another spot?
He could. I mean, you have the DH spot too. I mean, he's athletic enough to play, you know, left field. You know, the thing is, it's different than a Schwarber thing. Like Schwarber, to give him credit, I think Schwarber had a chip on his shoulder when people were telling him he couldn't catch, and he wanted to catch, and he was willing to put in the time and work hard at it. But the reality of it was, at best, Kyle Schwarber was going to be a below average to fringy catcher who was not good behind the plate. I'm not saying he would have been terrible, but he wasn't going to be good. And you were better off, like it's weird, but in a weird sort of way, him blowing out his knee in the outfield was the best thing that ever could have happened to him, because it took the catching away. So it maximized the value of his bat. And for the Cubs, it also, like, looking back, got Javi Baez at bats. He probably wouldn't have gotten on that team if that spot hadn't opened up when Schwarber missed most of 2016. With Teal, I think a big part of his value is that he's a good catcher. So you don't want to, like for Schwarber, from day one, my point was, you want to maximize his bat. I wouldn't mess around with the catching. I want him to hit 40 home runs a year. With Teal, a big part of his value is the catch. Now, that said, this is it's different the way the position's evolved. You just don't see too many teams have a guy catch 130 games. And I think you could see a situation where Edgar Caro, who I also mentioned as the other, you know, top 100 catcher in the White Sox system, he's okay defensively. I mean, he's not, I don't think he's ever going to be better than okay, where I think Teal is pretty solid behind the plate. So you might have a situation where, you know, the Teal catches 90 to 100 games and Caro catches 60 to 70 games. And Caro can hit too. So then Caro, you know, plays some DH, and maybe, you know, Teal plays some DH. But I see it as more of a timeshare of catching, so you don't wear the guy out at catching. But maybe you put him in the lineup at DH. I don't think they're going to run him around left field too much. And I don't think they would make it a full-time position. I think his defense is underrated. I like his bat, but I think he's a good catcher. So I think his value comes from contributing on both sides of the ball.
Obviously the White Sox traded Jake Berger, and they traded him for Jake Eater, basically. And Eater is 26, left-handed, came up a little bit at the end of the year. I don't know what his future looks like. What did they get? What did Berger receive in compensation? Or not him, but Florida. I'm just curious what you think. Did they do better than the Sox did a year earlier? Let me put it that way.
I guess at the time of the trade, I liked the Jake Berger trade for the White Sox. Like what happened with Eater? Eater came out of Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And his first year in pro ball, he dominated. They sent him straight to Double A, which is kind of a curious move because he'd been kind of in and out of the rotation at Vanderbilt, which had a bunch of pitchers. And Eater dominated. And I mean, I had one scout who's told me he thought Eater, he hadn't seen every pitcher in the minor leagues, but the Eater was the best pitcher he saw anywhere in the minors in, I guess that was 21. I think it was 21. And then he blew out his elbow that August. And the problem is he just hasn't been the same since. You know, when the White Sox got him, I think literally he had had his best start. He'd just come back from the Tommy John. He'd also had like a foot injury, so delayed his comeback. And he looked really good in Double A. And I thought when they made the trade, like, hey, they had a chance to maybe get a guy who's one of the best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball. And you could still see the stuff at times, but he just has been hit. So, like, that one doesn't look like it's going to work out. But at the time, I liked it. You know, what the Marlins got for him, they got kind of three, like none of the prospects they got, I wouldn't rank any of them ahead of any of the, I mean, different type of trade, but I wouldn't rank any of the three guys the Marlins just got ahead of any of the four guys the White Sox just got for Crochet. Like I'd take Wickham and Gonzalez over all of them. It's Shedry Vargas and Max Acosta, are two middle infielders who probably are more second base than the shortstop. And they're okay, but like realistically, they're probably utility men. And then they got a lefty named Brian Mendoza, who is a classic pitchability lefty. He throws in the low 90s, but he's got a really effective slider and a plus changeup. So they took more kind of, I think, complementary pieces in that trade. So, like, we may look back, and that may work out better than what the White Sox got from Jake Berger. But at the time, you know, Jake Eater, you were hoping, was maybe a number three starter. It seemed like he was on that road, and it just didn't happen. I mean, he mystifies me. You could still look on the right day, and you see pretty good stuff, but he's just been, you know, torched ever since the White Sox got him.
Yeah, that's the only problem with the White Sox.
Great stuff, Jim.
Great, Jim. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, good talking to you guys. Happy holidays.
You too.
You too, buddy. That is Jim Callis.
It's a great summary of all the prospects.
Oh, yeah, I feel like I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.